1 hour of people tell their chilling ghost encounter. Like and subscribe or I'll haunt you tonight. I've never lived in a haunted house, but my mother did as a teen. Other houses on her street had strange things going on too. A few homes away from her lived a family. One night, the daughter went to bed with a bad headache. The next day, she was dead. She passed away from an aneurysm. After her funeral, the family went away to get their minds off the tragedy, and the father asked my uncle, my mom's brother, to check on their pets. My mom and dad, who were dating at the time, went with him. My mother had heard there was a grand piano, and she wanted to play it. My dad was studying to be a veterinarian. After entering the house, my uncle and my father headed to the basement to see the animals, and my mother went to the piano on the ground floor. She was playing it when she felt something brush her ankles. She thought a cat must have left the basement and walked past her. She kept playing, and then she felt it again. She looked under the piano and saw nothing. When she started again, she felt hands clasp her legs tightly. She dashed to the basement door, called my uncle and father, and waited for them. Back outside, my uncle could tell my mom was rattled and asked what was wrong. She told him what had happened, and he turned white. He told her the daughter who had died used to play a game with her father. When he played the piano, she'd crawl underneath, grab his ankles, and push his feet up and down on the pedals. The ambulance company that I used to work for had a haunted ambulance, Rig 12. A lot of EMTs had stories about it, but I never put much stock in paranormal stuff. That is, until I had my own experience with Rig 12. My partner and I were working in a rural community at 3 a.m., and it was pitch dark and completely quiet. We were both dozing. I was in the driver's seat, and she was in the passenger seat. I woke up to a muffled voice, but I thought my partner was talking. I told her I was trying to sleep and closed my eyes. I distinctly heard a male voice say, "Oh my God, am I dying?" Followed by a few seconds of heavy breathing. My partner and I sat up straight and looked back into the patient compartment, where it sounded like the voice had come from. Things were quiet for a couple of seconds, then we heard the click of an oxygen bottle regulator and a hiss, as if it was leaking. I turned on the lights, and we ran out of the rig. I thought a transient might have climbed in while we were asleep, so we opened the rear doors. No one was there. I checked the oxygen bottles, neither was open. We didn't sleep much after that. My neighbor Diane and I had a playful poltergeist for years, and we called it Billy. I'd come home and find something put in a weird place. Milk in a cupboard, toilet paper in the fridge, laundry detergent in the bathtub. Diane once called to ask if Billy had been around, because she couldn't find a gallon of milk. We finally found it outside on her back steps. And sugar, darn sugar. Every morning, my sugar bowl was empty. When I'd had enough, I would point to Diane's home and yell, "Go see Diane." Within 5 minutes, I'd get a call from her. "Thanks a lot," she'd say. He'd gone and pulled shenanigans at her place. This occurred for the entire 2 years we lived there. No one believed us, not even our husbands. My mother thought someone was stealing from us when we were sleeping or out of the house. My sister believed something was going on but didn't know what. I still can't explain any of it. I don't believe in ghosts, but, after all, no matter how a ghost story begins, it always hinges on the notion that, come on, of course, we believe in ghosts. A few years ago, I moved into a one-bedroom apartment in Melbourne, Australia. It was my first time living on my own. The apartment block had been built in the 1930s. I'd been there for a few months when I came home from work one day and went into the bathroom. I saw something strange. A wooden board, which had covered a hole in the ceiling that led to a small attic space, lay fractured in two pieces on the ground. I examined the pieces. The board was an inch thick, and it would have taken Bruce Lee to break it. I thought the landlord had sent someone to work on the attic. I was frozen stiff with fear. Someone is up there for sure, I thought. I emailed pictures to the landlord, asking if anyone had been there, with an undertone of annoyance since she hadn't warned me. Her reply read, "Please call me as soon as you are able to." I called, and she explained that her last two tenants had said the same thing happened. She promised to replace the board, and she did. A month later, I woke up one night around 4 a.m. My body was covered in goosebumps. It felt like someone was rubbing his or her hands on me. Everything was silent, but then I heard a dragging sound coming from above my bed. It was as if someone was pulling a sack of potatoes. I froze, convinced someone was up there. There is no way an animal could make that sound. After 5 minutes, I worked up the courage to turn on the light, armed myself with a cricket bat, and walked to the bathroom. That's when I saw that the new board covering the hole was broken in two. I felt sick. The dragging sound had stopped, but I heard something else, whispering. The sound was clear and coming from the attic. It sounded like children's voices, and I could hear one sentence repeated over and over, "It's your turn, it's your turn." I switched on every light in the apartment to make things feel normal. It was 5 a.m. and dark outside. I watched TV to try to unwind, then a fuse blew. My pet budgie, Dexter, whom I kept in the kitchen, usually never made a sound at night, but he started squawking like he was being strangled. I'd never heard him make those sorts of noises, he was screaming. I grabbed my car keys, ran out, sat in my car, and waited there until the sun came up. When I saw people walking their dogs, this comforted me enough to go back in. The front door was open, but I figured I might have forgotten to close it when I ran out. I went to the kitchen to check on Dexter, but he wasn't in his cage. I felt sick again. All my windows were closed, so I looked everywhere inside. When I walked to the bathroom, I heard splashing. Dexter was half drowned in the toilet. I took him out, washed him, and dried him. I was so confused. At 8 a.m., I called the landlord and gave her a watered-down version of the night. "Oh wow, you heard the whispering too," she said. I stayed in that apartment for another 18 months. I heard the whispering on a few occasions, and twice the board covering the hole in the ceiling moved. Although I live elsewhere now, the landlord recently called. She said that her new tenants had begged to speak with me about some of the stuff that's been going on there. Forget it, it's their problem now. One night when I was 10, I was woken up by my bedroom door opening, followed by someone sitting on my bed. I felt my leg grazed and the bed sink under a person's weight. "It's just mom," I thought, and I opened my eyes. It was not my mom. I found an eyeless boy. He had black, empty sockets, about my age, sitting at the foot of my bed. He extended his hand, and in it was a little box. I was startled but reached out. He pulled back. I reached again and said, "Give it." Then I blinked, and when I reopened my eyes, he was gone. But I could still see the imprint where he'd sat on my bed. Fast forward 5 years, my girlfriend came over to do homework. After she finished, she took a nap while she waited for her parents. When they arrived, I tried waking her up. She opened her eyes suddenly, looking up at a corner where the wall met the ceiling. She pointed there and went back to sleep. I shook her again, she came to full consciousness, and I explained what she'd done. She looked haunted. Up on the wall, I saw a little boy with no eyes. He was there, in a Spider-Man pose, staring at me. I freaked out and told her my story about the same kid. Fast forward another 5 years, I was with the same girlfriend, and we had a 2-year-old. We were living in my parents' house, in my old room. My daughter started waking up at the same time every night, and she'd talk. After a while, I noticed she had almost the same conversation every night. I playfully asked her once whom she was talking to. She said, "It's a little boy, he's nice. He's lost and looking for his mommy." My daughter's nightly conversations continued until we got our own place later that year. This happened in 1972, at a party hosted by University of Michigan students living on Ashley Street. A 15-year-old girl, who probably had no business being there in the first place, suddenly felt a strange, bone-chilling cold. In an attempt to warm up, she went upstairs, because heat rises, we guess. That's when things really went awry. One of the walls of the house started moving, and a black shadow approached the girl. Meanwhile, downstairs, posters were spontaneously popping off the walls and falling into a growing pile on the floor. The girl wandered back downstairs, where she found herself saying these strange words. "The drugs and addiction were my fault, and I accept responsibility for that, but I was not that way deep down inside. I want to apologize to everyone involved for what I have done." What made those words even stranger was that the girl did not do drugs, let alone have an addiction. Her words didn't seem all that strange to the students who lived in the house. Before they moved in, the house had been inhabited by a man with a very serious addiction. The reason he no longer lived there? He had died of a heroin overdose. Has the ghost of Ashley Street made any more appearances? That remains a mystery. I'm 52 years old and have had 5 paranormal experiences, 3 of which, possibly 4, involved a ghost. The most recent was January 5, 2011. My grandmother passed away on 1st of January 2011. I was very close with her and was her favorite of 9 grandchildren. I was born in Connecticut and lived in Connecticut until 2002 when I moved to Arizona. I have been here since. I returned a few times to visit, but she had never been to my house in Arizona. When she had died, I had recently started a new job and couldn't get the time off to return for her funeral. On Wednesday, January 5th, I had returned home from work at about 4:30 p.m. and walked into my house. I went in through the garage, through the laundry room and turned right into my living room headed for the kitchen when I noticed something on my left. I looked to see what it was, and it was my grandmother standing in my living room near the entertainment center, and she was talking to someone on her left side that I couldn't see. I also couldn't hear anything. She was almost solid at the head and shoulders, but her body was almost transparent. She had a look of concern and confusion on her face and was wearing a pink floral dress, which I found out later on that she was wearing at the wake. She was looking right past me into my kitchen as though I wasn't even there. I stood there in disbelief for a few seconds, and when I said "Grandma" under my breath, she just faded away. The whole experience lasted less than 5 seconds. I have replayed this over and over again in my head, and the only thing that I can come up with is that her wake was at the same time that I returned home from work and she didn't see me there. Maybe her guide brought her to me to see I couldn't be there. I don't know, but I wish I did. I'll probably never know, but then again, I might get some answers when my time comes. A was coming home at midnight on his bike. He saw some lady on the side of the road asking for lift. She was also crying. He thought she needs help and gave her a lift. In the meantime, he asked her name and her destination, but she kept crying. After repeatedly asking when she did not answer, he stopped his bike and said he cannot take her anywhere if she does not tell him where she wants to go. Then she lifted her hand and fingered to a small lane which was very dark and no one to be seen there. He turned his bike to the lane and drove. But even after driving several kilometers, the lady did not ask him to stop. Finally, he stopped his bike again and turned back. But to his surprise, the lady was gone. A bad smell remained. He looked at the surroundings. It was a place for cremation. Frightened, he took a U-turn and drove to full speed. He could not believe he was with a ghost for sufficient time. So when you are with a ghost, all you can do is be strong and not weaken yourself. You are lucky you helped an unsatisfied soul. Then forget the whole incident and do not rethink. Remember, you have with you the most powerful entity, the Almighty. I was living in a house in Laguna Beach that had been there since the 1920s. In its history, it had been a speakeasy, a brothel, and a house for smuggling illegal immigrants. One day, my new wife and I were having an argument. I can't even recall what it was about. She walked down the block to get a cup of coffee and cool off, and I was alone in the house. From my bedroom, I could look across the hall into the bathroom, then through the bathroom and down the other hall. I was standing at my dresser, and I just noticed movement out the corner of my eye, and looked down there. There was, and honest to God, this gives me goosebumps just typing it, 17 years later, a black figure. It was maybe 3 feet tall, and it was only vaguely humanoid. It looked like black scribbles, like someone had scribbled a human shape, but the scribbles moved, like electricity arcing. That's the best way to describe it. There was no sound that I could remember. I distinctly remember when I saw it I wasn't afraid, just like, what the hell? Then it noticed me looking at it. I can't say it turned around, it just focused on me, I guess. Then I was scared. I didn't move, didn't scream, nothing. I was just frozen, because it just freaking came at me. It rushed down the hall towards me. I have no idea what it intended, but as soon as it entered the bathroom, the door closest to me just slammed shut on it. Then I screamed, I yelled for my wife. She wasn't home. I went outside, into the daylight, and didn't go back in until she got home about 10 minutes later. About 10 years ago, I was 8, I was visiting my dad at his house. My stepmother was in the kitchen and I was in the family room. We both saw my father, wearing a red flannel shirt and blue jeans, walk around the corner from the living room and start walking up the stairs. I followed him and called his name as he went up the stairs. He turned back and looked at me, got to the top of the stairs and went around the corner. I called his name again, then from the living room my dad popped his head up over the couch and asked what I wanted. He had been asleep on the couch the entire time, yet both my stepmother and I clearly saw him, wearing the clothes he had on the whole day and all, go from the living room up the stairs. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen. Both my stepmother and I still remember it and talk about it to this day. Also, it was broad daylight, so it wasn't some uncanny illusion of the night. In 2000, my husband, who is from Stockholm, Sweden, had a strange encounter in the apartment we are living in. He works late in the night repairing computers, and he went upstairs to the kitchen to get some coffee. He went through the dining room to the kitchen and the light switched off. He believed it to be a mechanical failure, as he's an engineer. He tested the switch and it worked fine, and again went out of the room and the light switched off. This was the beginning of a serious haunting that scared the daylights out of us. Later that night, a bag of oranges which was sitting on the cupboard spilled out and oranges were all over the floor. That was enough to convince him that this was an out of the ordinary experience and he hid under the covers. My dog and cat refused to go into the dining room and kitchen, which was where all the incidents occurred. They would cry and cower in fear when the entity was about. The incident started escalating and a crucifix I had on the wall was laying on the floor, knives would appear on the table, when there wasn't anything there the night before and noises, which sounded like a child crying would come from the dining room corner. There was a cold spot in the center of the dining room and I always felt chilled going there. Shortly after this started, I had company over for dinner and was setting the table and put placemats on the table. As soon as I moved to another setting, the placemat flew off the table. Then chairs started moving on their own accord. This continued for approximately 6 months and both my husband and myself were living in fear of the unseen. Electrical interferences started happening whereby a light bulb would last approximately 1 week, the television was constantly flickering, static noises came over the radio and things would disappear that I know were in plain view. I decided enough was enough and contacted the Paranormal Society in London asking for an address for Eddie Burke, a known ghost hunter, who stated in his book that he could remove ghosts from any location, as time and distance do not matter in the spiritual world. I sent him a floor plan of my home and within 2 weeks of sending it to him, the ghosts were gone. As Eddie is in his 80s, I hope that he has a prodigy to take his place, as this was a very frightening experience to go through. Today the apartment feels warm and safe and I do not sense any beings present. Following is one of the spookiest incident I've ever witnessed and this is not a story, it's a fact. A very good friend of mine just after his 22nd birthday lost his mom due to some chronic disease. Since being the only kid in the house, he was pampered a lot by his parents and especially his mom. He also crazily loved his mom and his signs of depressions were clearly seen when his mom was hospitalized. After she passed away, there was a sudden change in his behavior. He avoided personal interactions and stammered while talking to us. After a week, he didn't bother meeting us. After around a month's time when we were coming back from a movie, we saw him at his balcony in a weird position. It was looking like he was climbing the grills at his balcony like how Spider-Man climbs the wall, and we were quite surprised looking at him. We did wave at him, but he didn't wave back at us, which confused us even more. The next day too, other friends from our group also saw him in the exact same position. And no price for guessing, he became the point of discussion amongst us. To find out what's happening, we decided to meet him the next day, and he spoke as if everything was okay. But his eyes didn't seem right, the dark circles around his eyes made him look like an owl. We asked his dad about his behavior. His dad at first didn't find anything unusual, maybe because of his work, but post we convincing him, he came up with an idea of keeping an eye on him. He also asked us to be with his son for the weekend and we did oblige to do that. Which turned out to be one of the biggest mistake what I made till date. We saw our friend this time not climbing the grill, but his own wardrobe and sat there talking with himself, seemed like he was sharing his childhood incidents. All this was in his eyes open, so we thought there is no case of sleepwalk. We immediately ran up to his dad and got a doctor to look at him. When we got him down and doctor asked him what was he up to, the answer made us pee our pants. He said he will not climb to the grill or wardrobe if his mom won't meet him at those places to talk to him. I just got back from the city today, and I am never going back. When I exited the building, I saw hundreds of people walking limply on the opposite side of the sidewalk. It appeared that they only went in one direction while walking, but what scared me was there was no one else on the streets but them, and their faces were drained of color and emotion. I crossed the road over to them, not even one car passed by. I got over to them and began following them, asking for an explanation and got no reply. I felt like I walked for miles, with no clear destination with the walking crowd. No one would talk to me, not even acknowledge my existence. Their faces still devoid of any emotion, still looking forward, as if drawn in by some unseen force. I felt like I was losing my sanity. I started to question whether this was a dream or not. A taxi suddenly stopped right beside me, and the driver beckoning me to get in, his face was pale as if he had seen a ghost. We traveled opposite the direction of where the people were walking to, and I realized that there seemed to be an endless line of them just walking in one direction. I questioned the driver as to why he picked me up so suddenly and where he was taking me. What he said chilled me to the bone. I just saw you walking on that empty street over there seemingly talking to no one. I just wanted to take you to the hospital to see if you were okay. I live in an apartment where an infamous child murder occurred. Long story with a bit of graphic exposition, reader discretion advised. For those of you who have read my other stories, I seem to be a magnet for child spirits. So a bit of history. In 2009, the national media got swept up in a story about an 8-year-old who had been reported missing by his mother. Amber alerts went out, thousands of people joined the search, but for days, he wasn't found. His mother was on TV asking for help finding her son at all hours of the day. Then a few days later, he was found floating in one of the irrigation canals. Upon investigation, it was discovered that the mom's boyfriend was doing unspeakable, evil things and physically abusing the boy. For punishment, he would be locked in the walls, an unfinished closet for access to the central air and heating unit, and he had to stay in there for hours. Health and welfare would do routine check-ins at the home, during which the mother and her boyfriend would lock the boy in the closet, so they wouldn't see the bruising from the most evil punishment, in which the boy had to lay on floor and the mom's boyfriend would view knee drops onto his chest, with force. Do the math from there, I do not want to get more graphic. The mother and her boyfriend then took the body half mile to the canal and dropped it in, went back home, and called in the missing child report. For justice's sake, the mother and her boyfriend are now in prison in general population. A fate worse than the death penalty for people who hurt children. Fast forward 4 years to 2013. My wife and I were looking for an apartment for us and our two kids. We got into a 3-bedroom apartment that sets the rent you pay based on your income. There's a pool, fitness center, in-unit washer and dryer, central air and heat, paradise compared to where I've lived before. We had no idea what we were moving into. As I began to make friends with my neighbors, I got to talk to some of the old-timers, the ones that have been living here for years. We would talk about a lot of different things, but as soon as they found out which apartment I live in, oh, you live in that apartment? Have you had anything weird happen yet? No. Why? Do you remember the child's name, Case? You live in that apartment. During the search and discovery coverage, the news was very careful not to disclose the actual location where it all occurred. They showed a house a few blocks away where the boy would often go because his friends lived there. We had no way to know what we just moved into. Our state also doesn't have a mandatory disclosure law. Well, the lack of activity was short-lived. Odd but little things started happening. If I took off my glasses and set them down while they defog after I came in from the cold, I would come back to that spot a few minutes later and my glasses weren't there and I would finally find them. Right where I left them in the spot they were and then they weren't and then they were. And I'm talking about the middle of a clean counter or a ledge right by the door, not something I'm just going to overlook. They were there, then they weren't, then they were. I initially chalked this up to the fact that I am getting older, and I also have MS. I'm also a tobacco smoker, only tobacco. Numerous times, I looked and looked and couldn't find the lighter I just had an hour ago. Finally, I would go to the kitchen drawer and grab the box of matches in the drawer and head out to the patio. Just as I got the match lit and touched it to the tip of my cigarette, something fell on my hand and clattered on the ground at my feet. I looked down and there's my lighter. Also, a fun one that happens. I shave when I'm in the shower and I keep my razor in a caddy hanging from the shower head. I will be on the other end of the bathtub soaping up and feel something hit my back and then fall on the floor. My razor mysteriously traveled 4 feet through the air and hit me in the back. Most of the stuff that happens is small, mischievous, and funny. The kind of jokes and pranks a child would play. And now I've taken to saying hello to him every time something like that happens. But as more happens and I research more about the case, so much more comes to light about things that had been happening and I didn't know why. My daughter's room has the closet where the air and heat unit is housed. She would always complain about hearing scratching, banging, and occasionally a voice coming from the closet. We are on the ground floor and there are living, fleshy children upstairs. Apartments always have sounds. No, Dad, the sound is in the closet. I still explained it away about the way sound travels and amplifies in heating ducts, until the breaker on the heater popped and I had to go in and reset it. And then I saw, scratched into the wood frame in the walls, half hidden by years of dust. The murdered child's name. I sanded it out, so my daughter wouldn't see it and get freaked out. We can't afford to find another place to live in this city. Also, occasionally, when my son and I are talking crap and both of us bust out laughing, there is another laugh in the room with us, but my wife and daughter are in the other rooms or not at home. This all brings me to the point where I just have to tell the story, because it just happened, for the first time, 20 hours ago as of the time I'm writing this. My wife and I both woke up at the same time because we heard someone whispering in our room. As my eyes first opened, I saw a young boy kneeling next to my bed, reaching out for my little dog who was sleeping next to me. Not a transparent apparition either, solid appearing and kneeling right next to the bed and trying to pet my dog. As consciousness and my connection to reality increased, the boy faded away into the ether. Ordinarily, I could attribute this to me just still being asleep and dreaming. But I saw my wife moving off the bed toward the bathroom as he faded away in front of my fully opened eyes. But yeah, I live in an apartment where a nationally covered child murder occurred. What is it with me and child spirits? I'm from the UK. When I was aged 15, my parents used to own a static caravan holiday home. When I had a week off school, we used to go up there. I had a friend and his family did the same. We used to sneak out with some beers and have a wander late at night while everyone else was sleeping. The holiday park was by the coast, and if you followed a trail, it would lead you to the top of some clay cliffs and a large grassy area with ponds, farmland and lots of bushes. There was a bench we used to sit on overlooking the beach, and we would smoke cigarettes and drink beers and just generally have a good time. This one night, we decided to walk a bit further. It was dark, but the moonlight was shimmering and lighting up the pathway. Not a sound could be heard. It was like all noise had ceased. We were walking between two thick bushy trees in a hedgerow. I stopped suddenly, because I heard a rustling in the bushes. Basically, there were two huge trees and behind them was a dense thick hedge about 6 feet high. I turned on my mobile phone camera light and saw that two animal eyes were reflecting back. I said to my friend that maybe it's a fox. So I moved a bit closer and had to duck under a branch. So I'm now bent over kind of squatting to get in and take a closer look. As I shined my light into the hedge, I saw what looked like a white oval-shaped large rock smooth. The oval-shaped object turned, and what I saw has haunted me for a long time since. I'm 37 now and this was when I was 15. What I thought was a funny rock was a bald head, and it was like somebody was lying on their back and I was looking side onto them. The head turned to me, and all I could make out was inhuman black eyes and the most hideous hateful expression. Although it was humanoid, it was not human. I didn't notice body of creature, but just the facial expression. It paralyzed me like a rabbit in headlights. I've never felt fear like it. I went white as a sheet, goosebumps and just completely incapable of moving. My fight or flight response then made me move. I turned and ran bashing my head on a branch. I just shouted a swear word, then run to my friend. I expect he saw my expression of fear and he just ran like me. When we finally felt safe and were back near Caravan Park, I tried to explain what happened, but it took a while for me to actually want to talk about that face. The whole seeing the face probably only lasted 3 seconds. I am getting goosebumps now just writing this. I do believe that there are some things lurking in the dark that we really do not want to see. I unfortunately saw one and I wasn't even looking for it. I just thought it was a fox. When I was about 8 to 10 years old, I lived in a horrifying apartment complex. So I will tell one of my supernatural or paranormal stories that really freaked me out. So I had just gotten to bed, and had made my sure curtains was closed all the way, because I was terrified of being able to look out of my windows while laying down. I always had a hard time of going to sleep. But that night was different. I fell asleep easily. But I woke up in the middle of the night, I think, because I couldn't check the time because how scared I was. When I woke, I kind of squirmed around, then I finally opened my eyes. I noticed it was really dark. Soon enough, my eyes adjusted to the dark, and that's when I noticed something. By my closet was someone sitting down and staring at me. But it wasn't a stranger, I know this person. It was my mom, but at the same time, it wasn't my mom, because for one, my mother wouldn't be in my room staring at me while I was sleeping and sitting on my bedroom floor. Also, it looked like my mom, but its eyes were off. My mom has the most vibrant, pretty blue eyes. It had eyes that were darker, not too dark, but you could tell the difference, and it was looking at me like someone would if they're spaced out. It also has the most emotionless expression my mom would never wear on her face. It scared the crap out of me. I kinda shifted over, looked towards my window where it wasn't and so it couldn't see my face. I noticed my curtains were opened a bit, where I could see outside. Which also scared me, so I closed my eyes trying to go back to sleep. Surprisingly, I fell asleep almost in an instant. When I woke up, no one was there. I didn't tell anyone about it, till weeks later, and I told my mom during laundry when I noticed a shirt. It's the shirt that the thing was wearing. My mom kind of freaked out and told me to tell her stuff sooner. When I was 5 years old, my family and I moved from Washington County, Wisconsin to the Fox Valley area, Central State. My father was working for a food service at the time, and the company had transferred him to a new area. 5-year-old me was very excited for the move. My family moved quite often. Before the age of 5, my family had moved 4 different times, so I was quite used to the moves. We didn't move to one of the bigger cities in the valley, we lived in a really small town near Oshkosh. My parents had bought the house without actually ever looking at it first. They just went off of a gut feeling, which they have learned to never do again. The house was in suburbia. It had a large garage or workshop that was once believed to be the barn. The house had had several reconstructions, but was believed to still be held on the foundation of the original 1780s farmhouse it once was. All in all, the house was very, very old. I remember the day we moved in. Things were blurry, but I remember my mother stepping into the house for the first time. My mother is not an emotional person. In the 17 years of my life, I've only ever seen my mother cry twice. 5-year-old me looked at my mother and realized something. She looked terrified. Little did I know back then, my mother was clairvoyant and could tell something was wrong as soon as we moved in. She had a right to be scared. I don't remember when the nightmares started, but I think it was right after we moved in. It's been so long, and I still have night terrors. The nightmares were always similar. I was laying in my bed. I slept on the upper floor, which was one long hallway that led to my parents' room. On the left side of the hall was my father's study and the bathroom. On the right side was my bedroom, which eventually became the guest room, and my playroom, which eventually became my bedroom. Anyway, I would be laying in my bed, I would look to my left and see the closet. There was always someone or something in the closet. Sometimes it was a shadow person. Usually, the shadow people were naked, but sometimes they would be wearing hats or coats. Sometimes it was a pale, translucent older man with a long white beard and a robe. Other times, it was the tall man. He looked like Slender Man, but he had small sunken eyes, a gaping mouth, a peach skin tone, and was stark naked. Every once in a while I would see a woman with a 50s-like style. She was white and wearing a pink dress. She was barefoot, I think, and had a blonde bob. She had no face. Whatever was in the closet, the night would open the closet, walk towards me, stand right next to me, and the scream. I would always wake up screaming. To this day, I have night terrors and I'm very scared of the dark. Many of these things would exist outside of my dreams, save for the faceless women. I saw the tall man a few years later, but that's a story for a different time. I would see the older man a lot around the house. Outside of my dreams, he would appear as blurs in the corner of my eye. I only ever saw him head on outside of my dreams 3 more times. When I was around 6, I was playing in my parents' room. The view from my parents' room offered a straight shot down the hallway. It was broad daylight. I remember that my dad was the only one home. He was downstairs. I was playing with my Barbies. I heard a man call my name. I looked up thinking it was my dad. I was met with the man. We looked each other dead in the eyes. He nodded, turned around, and disappeared down the stairs. I wasn't scared by the man. He didn't want to hurt me, he just wanted me to acknowledge him. The second time I saw him when I was awake was around when I was 7-ish. At this time, I had changed bedrooms, it was daytime again. My mother had laid me down for a nap, and me, being the stubborn 7-year-old I was, refused to sleep. I was sitting on my bed, legs crossed, playing with my stuffed animals. I hear a man call me from outside my door. I look up, thinking it was my dad and I have just been caught, but when I look up I see the man again. He shakes his head in a no gesture. He then turns, and walks towards my parents' room. Again, I wasn't scared. The final time I saw him was right before we moved. The way that the kitchen was set up is that the kitchen table sits so your back would be turned to the reflective French doors that separate the kitchen from the living room. These doors always remained closed as to keep our 3 cats out of the main living area because my dad was allergic to them. My mother was cleaning in the living room, talking to me through the closed doors. I was eating breakfast at the table. I turned to look at my mother. In the reflection of the glass on the doors, I saw the pale man. He was standing on the other side of the table. He did not look too happy. For once, I was a little fearful of the man. My father also had an encounter with pale man. He was working in the basement, looking for a box of Christmas decorations. Shortly before this, all 3 of our cats had passed away. My father heard a voice call to him in our basement, telling him to turn around. My father did as asked, only to see a blur run by him. My father, afraid, turned to leave the basement only for another blur to pass him and the voice to yell at him to just go. Overall, I don't think the man was evil or bad. He just had grown attached to us, specifically me, and didn't want us to leave. The shadow man or people, on the other hand, wanted to cause harm. I saw the shadow people a lot, but would sit on my when I tried to sleep. They would open and close the drawers in my bedroom, steal things off of my father's desk, unplug our TV or computers, and other nuisances. There were times that they acted out though. Around the time that I was 6, my family came home from church on Sunday morning. Me being hungry, asked my mother for lunch. My mother obliged and opened the cabinets in the kitchen to grab a plate for me meal. As my mother opened the cabinet, all of the plates in the cabinet came tumbling out of the cabinet, breaking on the floor. My mother stood in shock. My dad came in to see what was going on. My mother looked furious. My father pulled me aside and asked me if I had done this. My mother interrupted him, saying that I was innocent. My mother knew who or what broke the plates. Another time, we were sitting at the dinner table. I believe this occurred around the time that my family moved into the house. My family was praying before eating, and suddenly I felt a crisp, burning pain run along my back. I scream and start crying. In a hurry, my mother turns to me. I tell my mother that something is wrong with my back. She pulls my shirt up only so see a long red scratch that is lightly bleeding. I wasn't the only one to see them. My mother has seen them but refuses to tell me what exactly she saw. My grandmother had also seen them. Grandma is a strict Russian Orthodox woman and did not believe in spirits until she came to visit us. At the time she came to visit, my original bedroom was now the guest room. My grandma had relayed a tale to my mother after the first night she slept over. She had fallen asleep to be awoken by a voice calling her name. Opening her eyes, she saw a tall shadow person standing at the foot of her bed. My grandma, panicking, asked the thing what it wanted. After staring at my grandma for a minute, it ran out of the bedroom, into the hall, and disappeared. The final encounter I had had with a shadow man or people was the night before we moved. I was not sleeping when I should have been, reading a book under my covers. I began to hear footsteps creak outside my door, thinking it was my dad coming to check if I was sleeping. I quickly pretended to be asleep. I used to sleep with my back turned to the wall, stuffed animals behind me covered by a blanket to protect them. With my eyes closed, I felt someone enter my room, move one of the blankets, pick up one of the stuffed animals, throw it on the ground, and then leave. The stuffed animal it chose was a small white unicorn that I had gotten from a deceased family friend. After I had processed what had happened, I went to ask my father, still thinking it was him, why he had moved the unicorn. My dad was confused. Suddenly, I was filled with terror. I started rambling about how the shadow man had moved my stuffed animals and how he was watching me sleep. My mother quickly came to comfort me. After I told her what had happened, she took me by the hand, led me to the guest room, announced that the man could have the unicorn, and motioned for me to put it on the bed. I did as told and then left. The next morning, my father and I had went to empty the guest room. When we opened the door, we found that the unicorn was no longer on the bed but was now in the partially closed closet. My mother had told me the truth about the house many years later. The house had previously been witness to a murder-suicide. In the late 1980s, a cop and his wife lived in the house and the cop's best friend lived across the street. The cop's marriage began to fall apart, eventually finding that his wife was having an affair. After doing some snooping, he found that his wife was having an affair with his best friend. In a rage, the cop went across the street, shot and killed his best friend, and then killed himself. The house's original owners, 18th century farmers, had passed away in the house as well. Before moving, my mother consulted a medium. The medium had told my mother several things: the spirits of the cop and his friend occupied the house, as well as the spirit of the farmer and several negative entities. I believed that the farmer was the pale man. We found out that the farmer was very nice and had grown attached to me, since he did not have any daughters of his own. He lived in the basement and we believed that he confronted my father because he was jealous of him. I believed that the shadow person or one of the shadow people or the peach man was the cop. The cop did not like us and did not like my mother specifically. I'm still not sure on his true identity. I still don't know who the faceless woman is or was. In the early 1990s, when I was 3 to 4 years old, our washing machine at home broke. So my mom had to do laundry at the laundromat for a few weeks. I vaguely remember going a few times, but one time stands out to me more than the rest. The laundromat had a couple of arcade machines by the entrance. I would sometimes wander over and watch the demo on the screens, or watch people play if someone was there. My mom would generally be with me since I was so young, but on this particular trip I wandered away from her while she was loading up the clothes. There were two machines, but the only one I remember was Pac-Man. I was standing there, watching the demo, when a man came up to me. I thought it was weird that he was all black, like a shadow or silhouette. He had a very long coat, like a duster or trench coat, and he was wearing a Western-style hat to match. He seemed very tall, but again, I was very young. And he had no discernible face, no eyes, nothing. He was as black and featureless as the void. He produced a quarter, and started turning it back and forth, making it catch the light and shine. I looked at him and watched, and I remembered thinking that I would need two of those to play. Before I could do anything, my mom realized I was gone and called my name. As soon as she did, the man snapped his head to look in her direction, then dropped the quarter into the machine, and left quickly. I've remembered this all of my life. Many have said it was a dream, but I know otherwise. Why did he drop the coin in? Where did he come from? Why was he featureless? It wasn't until I found out on the internet that other people, usually as young children, have seen this exact man. It still gives me chills to this day, and it isn't a story that I share often since no one really believes me. Many years ago, in Philadelphia, there was a pretty but old-fashioned house that stood in Stuyvesant Square. The house had been empty for a long time, but in the winter of 1883, a man decided to purchase it and moved into it with his wife and their 6-year-old daughter. The couple set about renovating the house and there was a lot of work to do. While they were busy working, they allowed their little girl to go up to the attic and play. Years before, the attic had been converted into a playroom. After a few weeks, work on the rooms downstairs was almost finished and the mother had more time to spend with her daughter. However, the little girl kept stealing back up to the attic alone to play. Finally, the mother asked her why she liked to go up there so much. The child replied that she liked to play with the funny little boy in the attic. "What little boy?" asked the mother. The little boy with the brass buttons, the child replied. The mother brought her daughter up to the attic, but it was completely empty. He went in there, the little girl insisted, pointing to the boarded up fireplace. The exasperated mother was concerned that her daughter was telling lies and threatened to punish her for it. When the father came home, he gave his daughter a stern talking to and warned her about making up stories that weren't true. However, the little girl kept insisting so strongly that she saw the funny little boy with the brass buttons, that the parents began to believe her. The father was curious and decided to investigate the history of the house. He found out that it had previously been owned by an Englishman named Cowdery who had had three children, two boys and a girl. The youngest boy was born mentally handicapped and, although the neighbor said he was a sweet and innocent child, his father was ashamed of him and never allowed him to be seen outdoors. One day, the poor little boy's cap was found floating in the East River. The police assumed that the mentally handicapped child had accidentally fallen in and drowned. However, his body was never recovered. Shortly after the little boy's disappearance, Mr. Cowdery put the house up for sale and moved west with his wife and surviving children. Nobody knew exactly where the family had gone. When the little girl's father heard this story, he was suspicious and decided to search the attic thoroughly. He brought his little daughter upstairs and asked her to show him where the little boy came from. Again, she pointed to the boarded up fireplace. Her father tore off the boards and demolished part of the wall beside the chimney. After removing the bricks and cement, he was horrified to find the skeletal remains of a little boy. He was wearing a dark blue jacket with four rows of brass buttons down the front. Further examination revealed that the back of the child's skull had been crushed by a violent blow. The little boy had been murdered by his own father. The family ended up moving out of the house. The poor little boy's bones were given a decent burial and the affair was kept quiet. I was about 14 and had a friend spending the night. It was late, I want to say around 11 p.m. or so. We were joking around and we both noticed a circle of light on the wall above my bedroom door, brighter than the little desk lamp I had turned on. Now neither of us was freaked out or thinking anything weird was going on, mostly just curious. The window was opposite the door, so we thought that was where the light was coming from. We closed the blinds and when the light did not go away, we closed the curtains as well. The light was still there. We thought that it may still be coming from the window somehow and put our hands up and moved them around to see if we could find where it was coming from, maybe a hole or something. We found nothing. We turned off the desk light thinking it was reflecting off of something. Nope, still there. It is now pitch black in the room except for this little circle of light on the wall above my door. Still not scared, I climb up on the edge of my bed and put my hand up in front of the light to see if I can trace where it is coming from. No light on my hand anywhere I put it. I put my hand so close that it is almost touching the circle of light. No light on my hand at all. My friend says, "What the heck?" And I can tell we are both very confused. Just when I turn back to where the light is behind my hand, it moves, then it just goes away. My friend and I nope the heck out of my room and sleep in the living room. Still the most unexplainable thing that has happened to me to this day. Okay, so this wasn't me, it was my mom. Recently my great-grandmother died. She was extremely close with my mom. So anyway, my mom was on the couch and she was thinking about my great-grandmother, when suddenly a small musical wind-up ornament started to slowly spin and play music. It was an ornament that my great-grandmother had given my mom when she was little. My siblings swear that they hadn't touched it, it is high up in a cabinet. This happened to my friends and I when we were about 10. I was at a friend's house, which was right up the street from my house, and another friend was there. For story's sake, the friend whose house I was at will be friend 1, the other will be friend 2. We were playing with these walkie-talkies that friend 1 had just gotten. This night was in the midst of a week where friend 1 was talking about the weird doings of his cats, meowing at nothing, running out of rooms for no reason, etc. Also, our moms were hanging out down the street at my house. It was about 9 p.m. and we were joking about how friend 1's house was probably haunted. As a joke, friend 1 took the walkie-talkies, one in each hand, stuck his arms out to his sides and said, "If there are any ghosts in this house, give us a sign." Then after a few seconds of no sound but slight giggling from friend 2 and I, friend 1 chucked one walkie-talkie across the room to scare us, but instead we found it hilarious. While we were laughing, friend one had set the walkie-talkie he didn't throw on a coffee table in front of him. As the laughter died down, the walkie-talkie on the table just made this weird, howling sound that I have never heard before, never heard since, and haven't been able to accurately describe since. The noise lasted about 5 seconds, and we were just frozen staring at the walkie-talkie. We then exchanged looks and ran out of the house whilst screaming. We went down to my house and told our moms and basically just were scared the entire night. When I was little, I used to live in an old apartment building in Mankato, Minnesota. While I was there, I had quite a few unexplainable events happen to my mom and me. I lived with my dad, but he was a pilot, so he was gone a lot of the time. My dad used to leave early in the morning and he would be gone for a day or two doing pilot stuff. Anyway, my dad would come home late at night and I would get up to go say hi to him and freak out with excitement like most kids would when their parents got home. My bed was arranged in my room, so that I could see my parents' room across the hallway when I was laying in it. One night around midnight, I remember staring at my parents' bedroom across the hall, when I saw a dark black figure enter the room. I figured it was my dad, so I jumped out of bed to go and greet him, but when I entered the room, the only person in the room was my mom, and she was fast asleep in her bed alone. I also remember seeing a man from time to time in our apartment. He never really did anything, he would just kind of stand there or sit somewhere. I only saw him at most 5 seconds at a time, in mirrors or at the end of hallways. At the time, I never really thought much of him because of how young I was. I think the only time he scared me was one day when my mom had went down to the laundry room and I was left in the apartment alone. I was watching TV in her room when all of a sudden I heard a voice in the living room. I went out to see what it was and I saw the man sitting in a chair. I ran back to my mom's room and slammed the door shut and waited until my mom got home. There were a bunch of other weird things that would happen from time to time too, such as shadows and voices being seen and heard, but these are just the main events that I remember. I have had sleep paralysis occur to me before, which is freaky enough, but this wasn't sleep paralysis. I was staying at the Hotel Utica for a job for a few weeks. On the first night there, after hearing that it was haunted, I wake up around 3 a.m. on my side feeling like someone is in the room. I turn my head slightly and look around the dark room and see nothing. I close my eyes and I get the feeling like someone is running towards my bed, getting closer and closer for about 10 seconds. It ends and I feel like someone is about to jump onto the bed. It feels like everything coming to a climax, and I am too afraid to turn my head completely around. I gather the courage and turn my head and everything stops. I'm staring at nothing but the wall less than 4 feet away from me. It turned out that almost everyone I was with also was awakened around that same time. I often heard someone coming up the stairs when there was no one there. This one was particularly annoying more than it's scary, because this ghost thing, or whatever the heck it was, would do it all night long. Thankfully, it wasn't every night this happened. The scariest one for me was the time it sounded like every pot and pan in the kitchen was being banged together, thrown around, and slammed against the stove. It also sounded like every window downstairs was being banged on. It was loud. I remember seeing my oldest brother, I slept with my door open back then, run across the hall, into my younger brother's room because he was so scared and didn't want to be alone. I, however, just hid under the covers. Of course, upon inspection the next morning, absolutely nothing was out of place. I'm currently watching my aunt's dogs and house for the week while she's out of town, and last night, I decided to go ahead and knock back a few beers and make myself some burgers. I turn Spotify on in the living room, then head into the kitchen and start cooking. Now I'm watching this little family of four dachshunds, which is super easy, because they're all too small to get into any serious trouble. My only problem is they always bark at nothing in particular. Anyway, as I'm cooking, I hear a loud bang from the living room, and a couple of the dogs start barking. The best way to describe the sound would be if you were to pick up one end of a couch, and then drop it onto a hardwood floor. I walk out and nothing seems to be out of place. I figure maybe the sound was from the song that was playing, so I restart the song and listen for it. Nothing. Well, after not seeing anything wrong, I brush it off and go back to cooking my food. About an hour or so later, I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, when I hear scratching. I mute the TV and listen. I still hear the scratching, so I get up and open a bedroom door, and one of the dachshunds hightails it out of the room. This door has not been opened once since I arrived. I have no clue how the dog managed to get in, or why the door slammed shut behind him. I haven't gone in this room, because I know my aunt has a massive collection of creepy porcelain dolls in it, and I don't have much reason to look at a scary doll room. There have been two separate deaths in the house since my aunt moved in almost 30 years ago. I spent a good few hours outside after that. During my senior year of high school, my parents finally separated and my mom and I ended up moving into the vacant side of the duplex my BF lived in. He had told me plenty of stories before about how the place was haunted, but I was skeptical and never really believed him. My mom had taken up a second job to make ends meet, and for that second job, she wouldn't get home until around 10 p.m. on Thursday nights. One Thursday night around 9, I was winding down for the night. I turned off the television and all the lights downstairs, and started heading upstairs to read for a little while since I still wasn't tired enough to go to bed. I was walking up the stairs behind my dog, and the way the house is set up, the stairs go up to a landing where they make a U-turn, then you go up some more stairs to the second floor. At the top of the stairs, there's a window that had just enough light coming through the blinds to be able to see. I'm going up these stairs behind my dog, and when we get to the second set of stairs that go to the second floor, my dog stops and gives her tail a little wag like there's someone there. What happens next goes by in a matter of seconds. I look up to see what she's looking at. In the light of the window, I see a figure of a person. I say out loud, thinking that it's my mom, "Oh, I didn't know you were home already." I suddenly realize it can't be my mom, because she would have had to walk past me to get upstairs. As this is occurring to me, the dark figure appears to rush toward me, and as it gets closer it takes on a more masculine form. And then it's gone. I freaking bolt the rest of the way up the steps, locked myself and my dog in my room with all of the lights on until my mom got home. Shortly after that, the BF, his oldest brother, and I started doing a little ghost hunting and got some creepy EVPs. One I will never forget was from a small old rural graveyard where we heard a voice say very clearly, "Kill me, let me die." 4 years ago, my friend and I decided that we wanted to do a weekend out of town for her birthday. So, the two of us and her mom decided to go to Jefferson, Texas. Her mom's friend was going to go with us, but she couldn't get a babysitter. Well, after going around and looking at the historic town all day, we get back to our hotel, the Jefferson Hotel. It was pretty late at this point, probably 1 a.m. There were two queen-sized beds in the room. My friend and I took the one by the window, and her mom took the one by the door. After lying in bed for a while, I feel something touching the tops of my feet and lower legs. I joke with my friend to stop touching my feet because I'm trying to go to sleep. She said, "I'm not touching you, go to bed." This whole time, I'm still feeling something touching me. So I say, "No, for real, I can feel you touching my legs." She then kicks her arms and legs up and says, "Look, I'm not touching you." I instantly freeze and could barely talk, because whatever it was still touching my legs, almost like running your hands down someone's legs from the foot of the bed. She gets up and I could still feel it up until she gets around to the foot of the bed. She inspects and finds nothing that could have been doing it. Well, needless to say, I spent the whole night awake in the fetal position cuddling her for dear life. The craziest part of the whole thing was that in the morning my friend's mom called her friend that was supposed to come with us, but couldn't. She started off the conversation by asking what room we ended up staying in. Her mom said room 17. The lady responded, "Oh, well, my son and I stayed in that room when we went there before. But he won't stay in that room ever again, because he felt something grabbing at his legs all night long." I almost pooped my pants. When I was 9, I'm 17 now, I used to live in an old trailer that was on the bottom of a hill. Every morning, my grandma would wake me up for school at 6 a.m. When I was done getting ready, I would wait for the bus by watching cartoons in the living room. I had an old car seat I loved to sit in just a few feet away from the television. Behind my seat was a coffee table and couch. One morning, my grandma was in the bathroom getting ready for work, and I was, of course, watching the television. Suddenly, from right behind me on the couch, I heard a voice utter my name. Immediately, I spun my head around the car seat, expecting to see my mom because sometimes, I would accidentally wake her up with the television. Instead, I found nothing, I glared in the direction of the sound for a bit, but decided I was hearing things. Only moments later did I hear it again, closer. It sounded less human than before, almost sinister. I knew there was no way I imagined it this time. I didn't even look as I ran into the hallway and banged on the bathroom door for my grandma. When I told her, she of course didn't believe me. Soon after, however, I had to run to the bus and I didn't hear the voice again. That's the main experience I had with the trailer, but other odd things happened here and there. Things were misplaced often, and the doorbell would ring for no reason. I sometimes saw something in the corner of my eye, and once, while I was throwing a fit in my room, I heard a voice ask me if I was okay. My mother had heard that voice twice. While visiting Gettysburg last year, I went on a ghost tour, and for a while nothing was happening, until we got to these woods on the backside of East Cemetery Hill. I had a K2 meter that started going crazy, and the area directly in front of it was a good 10 degrees colder, but that's not all that happened. While standing there doing an EVP session, I got a weird feeling in my stomach. It was a dull ache, but my stomach also felt weird, a light fluttery feeling that's hard to describe. 2 days later, I was at an area of the battlefield known as Spangler Spring, and once again, I was hit with the same pain and feeling in my stomach. I walked away from the area I was at, and oddly the pain went away, so I wound up going back to the spot I was at and the pain returned. I left again and the pain went away. That was by far the freakiest thing I have ever experienced paranormal-wise. I live in a very old house in Pennsylvania, and lots of spooky things have happened. The scariest thing has to be the time there was a heartbeat in the ceiling. I thought I had heard a strange noise coming from the upstairs hallway just outside my bedroom, so I yelled for my parents to come check it out. They heard the heartbeat as well and figured there was some animal trapped in our air ducts. When we called a professional, they inspected our home to find nothing, and said that an animal couldn't have survived in the ducts seeing as it was winter and we had the heat running. The heartbeat grew louder in the next few days. I had asked my parents to get someone else to come over and check it out because it was starting to really freak me out, but they insisted it would go away. The day after I asked this, the heartbeat sound moved into my room, directly over my bed. I should add that my bed was under a slope in the room, with nothing between the ceiling and the roof. It was so loud and terrifying, there was no way I could sleep there. The next day, the noise disappeared and never came back. Some other creepy stuff has happened as well. For example, my family has heard children screaming, laughing, and jumping off our diving board into our pool. You can hear and see the splashes. Even the dogs have heard it and have gone crazy barking, but there are never any children in the pool. My house is freaking haunted. When I was younger and I had just finished taking a bath, I saw the silhouette of a man right in front of me, looking at me. He looked at me, and then walked down the stairs, and I heard the keys in his pockets as he left through the front door, which also audible. I was in a drowsy state of mind. When I got to the bottom of the staircase, my sister was sitting on the couch watching TV. I asked her, "Did Dad just leave?" She didn't know what I was talking about. Later I described what had happened to her, and she told me she also had experienced the same thing at the laundromat my parents owned when she was helping out. We refer to this phenomenon as the shadow people whenever we talk about it. I worked as a teacher in a very old school building. In my wing, I was usually one of the first people to arrive there in the morning. The band room was directly above my classroom, so I often heard people playing instruments when school was in session. One morning, I got to school around 7 a.m. I didn't see anyone else around and went about my business getting ready for the day. I heard someone start playing a saxophone and assumed the band teacher had come in and gone up to the band room. Around 7:30, I see the band teacher walking up the stairs, keys in hand. I stop her to say her saxophone playing sounded great. She looks at me, confused. She had just arrived to the school and the band room was locked. Never did figure out any explanation for the saxophone music. This one happened a couple of days ago, actually. First, a couple of details about my house. There's a big field in front of it, and the way the sun sets every day, you can see the shadow of the house in the field. Also, there's a balcony with a tin roof facing the field. For those of you who don't have tin roofs, you should know they can be very noisy. There is no way you can walk silently on top of it, unless you moved extremely slow. Anyway, on to the unexplainable. I was out on the balcony smoking my afternoon cigarette. It was a quiet afternoon, and I was alone. The sun was slowly setting behind the house, casting the shadow upon the field. As I finished the last drag and threw the cigarette out, I saw the shadow of a man on top of the roof. The figure was clear, there was no mistaking it. It was a man standing over me. I froze in fear. How did he get up there without me hearing him? Maybe he had been up there for hours, crouching or laying down, and had just stood up. I had to go get my phone, call the police or something. Luckily, there was no way he could see me. I thought if I walked quietly, he probably wouldn't even know I was there. I started walking toward the door, and the shadow moved. When I stopped, he stopped. Directly on top of me. I moved again, and again it moved. It made no noise whatsoever. And again, when I stopped, it stopped. Directly on top of me. There was absolutely no way he could have seen me. I ran for it. Locked the door to the balcony, got my phone, and locked myself in my room. Didn't go outside until the police arrived. They scouted the area but found no traces of anyone. I only have one ladder that can reach the rooftop, and it was not moved from where I usually keep it. The ladder is made of metal, and also makes a lot of noise when moved. I had heard no noise before or after the incident. Maybe the person brought his own ladder, and took it with him. Maybe the ladder was made of wood, or was well oiled, so it made no noise. Maybe he knew how to be extremely super sneaky, and figured out a way to reach the rooftop without being heard. It still doesn't explain how he knew where I was standing, or when and where I moved. This happened 3 days ago. I haven't been sleeping well. My parents' house is haunted. Prior to us owning it, it had been used as a rental house, so who knows who lived there before us. That said, it's a large 5,000 square foot house, with 3 bedrooms on the main floor, and 2 rooms in the basement. My bedroom was located beneath the guest bedroom we refer to as the orange room, for its terracotta colored walls. There is something very unnerving about that room. If you go in there, you feel as if you're being watched. Even the animals won't go in there. Secondly, we have a long hallway leading to that room, with my parents' bedroom across from it. On occasion, we'll all be in the basement, watching a movie or something, only to hear footsteps going up and down the hallway. And it's not the house settling either. Actual heavy footsteps, which end once reaching the end of that hall. To add to the creepiness factor is when my parents shut their bedroom door at night, even locking it, they wake up to their door wide open. They chalked it up to the cat opening it by wedging his paws under the door, and left it at that. While my parents were puppy sitting my dog, they decided to put her in the guest bedroom, the orange room, for the night. Sometime around 3 a.m., the dog escaped from the room in a panic. We don't know how, as the door opens into the room, so how did she get the door open? And hopped up into bed with my parents. Their door had opened during the night, shaking uncontrollably. She never shakes. But something scared the living out of her, and at that point, both of my parents decided they were too creeped out to go back to sleep. Prior to that night, we had noticed that she would stare blankly down the hallway, occasionally growling, refusing to go down there alone. We just assumed she was afraid of the shadows. Another odd occurrence, which may be caused by sleep paralysis, is my dad's complaint of somebody touching his feet every night. Like somebody passes the end of the bed, and tickles his feet for a few seconds before abruptly stopping. I've even experienced the sensation of somebody sitting on the edge of my bed, only to find that nobody was there once my lamp was turned on. Based on what we know, the surrounding area was originally inhabited by Native Americans, before turned into farmland. There's no telling what the history of our property was. One cold night, when I was a teen home alone, I was blaring music through my headphones. My family used to only use our garage door to get inside, and the handle sometimes got locked or jammed and could only be opened from the inside. Being home alone, I locked all other doors. As one song faded to an end, I start to hear pounding and someone calling my name. I immediately jump up when I recognize it as the garage door and frantically run downstairs to open it. I was worried my dad had been locked outside yelling my name for a while, since the music drowned him out, and that he was going to be pissed based on the ferocity of the bangs and calling. I got to the door as fast as I could and swung it open only to have the motion sensor turn the light on to reveal it to be very empty. The only sound was the wind outside. I just stared into it wondering what I thought I heard. I got a chill and immediately slammed the door shut. I was looking over my shoulder the rest of the night. 3 a.m., and I'm sleeping in bed. I hear, via baby monitor, the baby beginning to stir and fuss. Then I hear, via baby monitor, a woman's voice humming and whispering, shh, shh. I confirm that the only other person in the house, my wife, is sleeping right next to me. I panic, run into the baby's room with violent intentions, and the baby is alone. Baby falls back asleep, but I do not.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole-body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Your future self will thank you. Go to kachava.com and use code SHAKE for 15% off your next order. That's Kachava, KACHAVA.com, code SHAKE for 15% off.